the snowflakes fall as winter comes, and time just seems to fly.
Friends, this segment is brought to us by CVA Muzzleloaders. In my opinion, the very best muzzleloaders in the world, the ones that I shoot. You can check them out online, cva.com. Kubi's Wild Game Processing and Kubi's Restaurant in Dallas. And Vineyard Max, maker of some awesome deer attractant and some very fine game feeders and fish feeders, located down in Nacogdoches, Texas. Check them out at vineyardmax.net. Folks, I want to introduce you to some good friends of mine at Dash for Cash Pawn Shop in Sigerville, Texas, located at 133 Hall Street. The phone number is 972-287-3121. Go by there and talk with Gary or Randy, the owner. They're great people. They've got some great prices. Again, that's the Dash for Cash Pawn Shop, Sigerville, Texas, 972-287-3121. Well, folks, you know, an interesting gun-related hobby is finding old military rifles and sporterizing them. If you don't sporterize them, you know, they're antique collector items. But when sporterized, drilled and tapped, if you will, for a scope, and the stock's cut down, maybe the barrel cut off and recrowned, all that. Possibly they become a viable hunting rifle. Now, Mr. Dustin Warnke, who is the producer of our show, is also very interested and very knowledgeable about these old military rifles. So that's what we want to talk about. Dustin, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Thanks for having me on again, Luke. It is always a pleasure to be on the show and to produce the show.
You bet. Well, I appreciate you very much. I'd like you to mention a few of the rifles that are available, and then I'm going to get you to tell how to find ammo for them. And I know some might be challenging to get ammo for. And then also, you know, some particular old military rifles that lend themselves well to being sporterized. So I always think about a 303 British. I don't know why that always comes to mind, but it does. Now, would that be a good one to track down and sporterize?
I'm looking at my 303 British.
You've got one. Okay.
Yeah, I've got one right here. And I just ordered ammo. There's a website out there you can find if you just type this into Google, called SG Ammo. And they're out of Stillwater, Oklahoma. They have a lot of just these older kind of, you know, obscure calibers.
Yeah.
And they carry typically sometimes foreign. You will find better loading in foreign, like PPU and S&B, cellar billet, and that kind of stuff. Hunting rounds, you know, hunting a box of cartridges that you can go hunt with out of these guns.
Yeah.
Now, something I want to talk about, I was a purist collector back 20 years ago when I started with Mosin-Nagant. That's one of the ones we're going to talk about. So Mosin-Nagant, Russian bolt action, World War II, you know, they were made from the 1891 all the way through the 50s. And, sporterized versions, I always like the full, you know, Manickler style military stock on those. And then I will get a NDT or no drill, no tap. No gunsmith needed. There's one particular mount that I've used for them, and they make several mounts for scout mounting, you know, where you don't have to drill the tap a receiver or mount a scope in front of the receiver, like from the rear sight mount. Mm-hmm. And those can be the, like, Bad Ace Tactical is one of the places you can find those. But, you know, they're going to run around $70 to $150 or whatever, but you don't have to pay a gunsmith to drill and tap or drill and tap on your own. And they also preserve the collectible history of that rifle. You know, you can see the crest and that kind of stuff, and it's not being covered up. So that's one thing with a lot of military collectors that are purists. You could always get an old military rifle, like a Springfield in 30-06, or a Mosin or a Mauser or an Enfield. Those would be the three top ones.
Okay.
Mosin, Mauser, Enfield, or, you know, Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you can find, if somebody's already, you know, chopped it up or, you know, cropped the stock and had some kind of just a modification to it and drilled and tapped from, let's say it was done back in the 50s and 60s when it was cheaper to do it, like we talked about on the last show we did. You know, That's a good deal to buy. Sometimes they even have scopes mounted on and everything like that. You don't have to drill and tap because that in itself is a little expensive. So then you could get you a rear sight mounted scout scope or some kind of a rear sight, you know, that kind of pulls it back like a bad ace tactical mount to be able to make that particular rifle huntable, you know, put an optic on. And a lot of us are getting aging eyes, right? And so we like to have a nice optic, whether it be a red dot sight or, you know, maybe something as big as a high power scope on a high power rifle like these.
Dustin, let me stop you right there. I've got a question now, and you, I did not know about this. You mentioned not a drill and tap scope or mount, I should say. Now, how did this, I'm trying to picture how this thing attaches. Does it go under the barrel and attach to the barrel?
Good question.
How does that work?
So I have one here. This is a JMEC scope mount. And this guy kind of like Dr. Pearson for the Winchester 94. There's a Pearson's tack rail. And, you know, this is an example of just how a no drill and tap works. So think about a Winchester 1894, you mm-hmm. know, old iconic rifle, also a Rossi 92, you know. So he makes mounts for both of those that basically only mount of its kind that I'm aware of. And this is the way no drill tap mounts work, just as an example. So if you go to a Mod 94 scope rail, online, you can kind of figure out what this looks like. And basically on like a Winchester, you've got a little side screw that you could replace. And this mount basically mounts forward of the receiver. So think about a Winchester 94 as a top eject, like as the traditional ones.
Yep.
And you get a pre-64 or post-64, whatever the case may be with Winchester's manufacturing. So the thing is, old grandpa's deer rifle, you know, you could put a scout scope on there, like a Vortex Crossfire scout scope or, you know, anything like that that would mount forward of that top eject receiver. He's got the only game in town, the only mousetrap like this. And it doesn't require any drilling and tapping because it's a top eject, right? So the same thing works with Enfields, Mohs and Nagants. The JMEC mount that I have here has a band that goes underneath the stock. You have to inlet the stock a little bit for it, but it doesn't make you have to drill the receiver. It goes right over the receiver, right? Right over the top of the receiver after it bends on, you know, right in front of it by where the barrel meets the receiver, right? So that's a kind of a clamp or a, you know, clamp down mount. He's got the only mousetrap in town that does that. Bad Ace Tactical sells several different mounts, and they mount. So think about this. Rear sight comes all the way back over the receiver. So that would be for, you need a bent bolt for this, you mm-hmm. know, for a Mosin Sniper, which I've got a couple of them. An Enfield already has a bent bolt, a Mauser, you know, M48, like a Yugoslavian Mauser. Has a pre-bent bolt already, and you can get a mount like this. You could also, and this is just me being a little bit fun here, I'm doing this with my Yugo 48 Mauser. You can get a scout mount and then put a cantilever scope on top of that scout mount, mm-hmm, and bring it back over the receiver that way. It's kind of like a little, I always call it the poor man's no drill tap mount.
Yeah.
You know?
So I got you.
Hopefully that helped you understand.
Yeah, it gives, I bet our listeners too have a working idea now how that works. Say Gun Trader, I think you said, is how to find these things. I mean, used to, you could order them. I've ordered them back in the late 60s when I was a kid in the early 70s through the mail, had them shipped to my door, you know, but those days have long gone. Texas Gun Trader, is that right? Is that a good place to look?
Texas Gun Trader, you can just find that online. And then for the ammo for these kind of more obscure that you're not going to find at your big box stores like Academy or Bass Pro or whatever, and find them at a good price too, is SG Ammo. That's Sierra mm-hmm. G Golf Ammo. So SG Ammo, and you can just Google this and find them online. Yeah. And they've got a lot of other ammo. You could buy ammo by the case over there. And so I would recommend looking private party. Used to be you could walk into certain gun stores, you know, and find these old rifles. Yeah. You still can. There are some that I found, you know, at a local gun shop down here in my part of Central Texas. And, you know, you can always, you know, there's some, you never know what you're going to find. Pawn shops are another good idea.
Yeah.
Like we always talk about finding an old bow or a crossbow in a pawn shop, getting a good deal on it. My first military surplus rifles came out of a pawn shop, and I remember my first two SKSs. One was Private Party for $150. That gun's worth well over $1,000 now.
Yeah,
and then
a
Chinese SKS, that was a Russian SKS, and a Chinese SKS, which I actually killed an Axis deer with some Wolf ammo. 154 grain, you know, that
you
was
bet.
A heck of a pill, and I killed an Axis deer with it, and you know, I found that, I bought that for $150 back in the day.
You
so
bet.
They've gone out, but you can still find deals.
I got you. Well, folks, we don't have a little bit of time left in this segment here. I have Dustin looking for one, and he was telling me for $400, you can find a serviceable one of these that might be already customized or maybe not, but I think it would be very cool for me. I like to hunt with air guns, crossbows. I do hunt with all that. I shoot all that stuff throughout the year just for fun and to stay proficient with them. But I would like to get an old, maybe a British 303, because I used to have one of those years ago. But mine did not.
Right?
Mine did not have a scope on it, you know. And I like to scope that thing. And I think it would be great fodder for some magazine articles, plus it would be just a whole bunch of fun. Dustin, we have time for you to connect everybody with you. Anything, I call Dustin my guru, but he helps so much with the radio shows. How do they contact you for whatever? You do so many different things, Dustin, you know?
Oh, sure. So I have, you know, I can be found on social media at Dustin's Projects, dustinsprojects.com. That's how to find me, you know, kind of my personal social media creator handle. And then I have a kind of a marketing agency side of my business, and that is at businesswithdustin.com or at businesswithdustin. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate all of you.
Folks, that about wraps our show up for this week. I've enjoyed being with you, and I hope you had a good time, too. And, folks, we're also brought to you by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma, located about, 45 minutes west of Hugo, Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation. It's about 45,000 acres of awesome mountain, country, hills, valleys, loaded with game. Lots of eastern turkey, and they do eastern turkey hunts if you're looking for a spot to hunt turkey in the spring.